You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Hi, y'all. That was my introduction. I don't have to do that now, so that's good. I'm just going to pray for us, and then I'm just going to kind of jump in. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to say yes, to get up here, and to just honor you, to point others to you, Lord, and recognizing your walk and what you've done in my life. So, Lord, I am just wanting to honor you through this. Holy Spirit, I invite you in. I pray that you would just open up the ears and hearts of these students and that they would hear what they need to hear. So, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you who know me, I do not like speaking in public, and so I'm really thankful that it's kind of dark and I don't see a whole lot of y'all. And so then I just see my friendly friends up here, and that's more calming and soothing for me. I'm also probably just going to sit. That way I can feel like I'm just chatting with friends. Again, I prefer more intimate conversations. If you ever want to get coffee or grab lunch, I would love to just get to know you and spend more time with you. That's where I feel most comfortable. But again, being obedient, saying yes to the Lord, and using and hoping my humility and vulnerability is honoring to the Lord. So I feel like in order to get to my story, I want to start off with a little bit of my background. I am from Texas, born and raised, as the video mentioned. And so growing up, my parents, I don't feel like I would say I came from like a Christian household. Both my parents had grown up in the church, but at some point they had been hurt by the church. So my upbringing didn't involve really going to church unless it was a holiday or the Cowboys were losing, in which case we would go. In that year, it was not very often. We were actually pretty good. Now, so we do go more. I feel like they instilled these values of like good morals of like, you know, get good grades, be honoring to your parents, don't drink, don't do drugs, all the things that I feel like most parents are teaching you. But there was no reason to why except for because we said so. So I did those things up until a point and then didn't really see the reasoning to continue to follow that. So I did get the good grades. I was in advanced classes. I was in sports. I was pretty quite athletic. I did volleyball, softball, swimming, cheer, dance, all of those things. But it wasn't till my freshman year in high school that I had joined the cheer team, and my parents, again, we're Hispanic, so we're a little bit stricter. They don't like allow you to like go out as much, have sleepovers, that kind of thing. Maybe that's just my parents, but I also feel like that's Hispanic culture, so that's why I say that. Because I had joined the team and they saw the need for me wanting to be included, they allowed me to go to a party. And they didn't know that there would be boys there, they didn't know that there would be alcohol there, and they didn't know that the parents weren't going to be there. But that was my first introduction, I feel like, into the drinking scene. And again, it started off as, I feel like, innocent enough of you just having a couple drinks in a social setting. Not a big deal for me at the time. On my mom's side of the family, again, the majority of her family are drinkers, so it was something I'd been around for a while. I would even say, looking back now, I see that alcoholism probably runs in my family from all my aunts and uncles, my grandpa. My parents never had alcohol in the house. Again, I think that was just things that had maybe happened in their life that they recognized that's not something that they wanted to do. But for me, looking at my aunt and uncles, thinking, they're the life of the parties. That's who I want to be with. My parents are boring. I would rather be like them. And so, again, drinking to me just didn't seem like a big deal. So that continued on for the next couple of years. My junior year in high school, I had gotten to the point where I was drinking pretty actively. I feel like there was a party at least every weekend. There were times where I was even maybe just having blackouts, and not in the sense of like, oh, something had happened as far as like a traumatic experience yet, but just blackouts because of alcoholism, of like you drinking so quickly, so much that there are parts of your day or evening that you forget, and you wake up the next morning and thinking, oh, I don't remember that. I'd had that a couple of times, but there was particularly one party in my junior year where I had been under the influence, and there was this boy that I liked that I had a huge crush on, and who had pushed me into a room, and we were making out, and one thing led to another, and it got more intensified than I had planned or wanted or hoped for. I had said no and kept pushing him off, and then I just remember like freezing and that being it. After that, I felt shamed. I felt really like broken and dirty, and again, my whole upbringing had been like, you're waiting till marriage to do these things. And so after that, I just felt like, well, in that case, then like, even if I don't know who God is and know his character, then I've already broken that like relationship. And so I lived with that lie for several years. I didn't tell anybody. I told a couple of my girlfriends. So again, being part of the cheer and dance team, I had told my little sister that was on the dance team. So she's like younger than me, doesn't have any experience. This has never happened to her. So her way of solving this is just crying with me. I told two other friends, one who had been my best friend since first grade, whose answer to that was, well, like, let's just go get drunk and forget about it. Great, let's do that then. And another friend who kind of also making excuses like, well, maybe he didn't know, maybe he had also been drinking. And so these are the lies that I'm hearing, and that's what I continue to live with, of thinking like, you're right, maybe it was my fault. Like, I liked him, I had been flirting with him, I had been drinking, and took on a lot of that responsibility. You might remember when Garrett was here last semester, and he talked about like, if you have trauma and you don't deal with it, and or hurt or wounds, and you put it in a box, that can then lead and open up a door to sin or lies. And that's exactly what that happened. So as I'm not dealing with that and putting it aside, thinking, I'll just pretend it didn't happen, because that's how I like to deal with things, lies kept seeping in. And so I'm just hearing continued lies from the enemy. And that continues on for the next couple years of high school. And it got to the point where it was like, alcohol only did so much. That only numbed the pain for so long. So then I was like, what other stuff is there? So experimented with other drugs. I started smoking. I would then recognize, well, I don't only have to drink on the weekends. I can even drink in class, or I can even sneak in my alcohol when I'm going to dance and have it in my cooler. Nobody's going to know. And so it got to the point where I feel like through high school, I was almost becoming a functioning alcoholic. Fast forward to freshman year in college, again, kind of living the same lifestyle, partying. I had made the dance team at my university and was super excited because I was one of the youngest ones on the team, and so I felt cool of having like friends with the upperclassmen. My big sister was the captain of the team, so I was invited to way more parties, hanging out with the fraternities. I had gotten adopted as like their like fraternity sweetheart. And at the time, you're like, this sounds stupid, like, that you're shallow. Yes, I know. This is why my story, I'm telling you this, is because these are the things that I took pride in, and these are the things that I was excited about, feeling, like, loved and wanted or cool or popular. And so thinking life is going good, well, one day I'm headed to class, and I get a call from one of my friends that had also graduated but had been on the dance team with me, saying that my little sister from the dance team had gotten in a car accident and didn't make it home. And so I thought, like, well, what do you mean she didn't make it home? Like, she's just not answering her phone call because there's supposed to be a pep rally tonight, like, or today. Like, I'm headed to the high school now to check and see. So I head to the high school to check with the other team, to check with the coach. And sure enough, they found out that she had been drinking the night before and was headed home and didn't make it and died on impact by driving off the road. In that moment, I was angry, and I feel like most people would have an awakening of like, oh, hey, maybe I should not be doing these things, or the lifestyle that I'm living is leading me in this direction. But I was angry. I was angry at God for taking away who I considered was one of my best friends and my like little sister that I'd grown up with and like loved on this like dance team. Again, when you're a part of a team, you get really close. And so I, in fact, just started drinking and driving more and even kind of testing those limits. In which case, then I obviously felt the fallout from that. Like, my academics started suffering. I got kicked off the dance team because of my grades. I lost my scholarship. I'd been put on probation, and things just were not going good. I remember trying to dance again, and because I think I had been under the influence, I ended up doing a spin, and it was supposed to be a leap into a split. Didn't execute it properly and tore my ACL. So then I'm not able to dance at all. And I think it's in those moments where you recognize like where your identity is. And so for me, my identity was in dance. And to have that taken away from me, and then to still be dealing with the loss of a friend and the trauma that had happened in high school, I was not in a good place. So I feel like I noticed after my ACL surgery that I then started saving up my painkillers and taking that with alcohol. And you're like, oh my gosh, this numbs so much pain. This is great. In hindsight, you feel good for a minute, and then you wake up the next day, or when that wears off, you're like, well, that, now I feel like crap. How do I get that again? So you keep chasing that, and that's what I did. So I'd gotten to the point where I'm now drinking and taking popping pills, anything to not feel. My parents started to notice, like, this is not good. And so, again, I feel like by God's grace that he intervened and gave my dad found an opportunity in Dallas to work at a fire department up there. So my dad applied. He moved me up there first and was like, we're going to wait for your siblings to finish school, but, like, you've got to figure something out, Jess. Like, you're not heading in a good direction. And I was like, okay. So I went up to Dallas with my dad. And it was really sweet in that moment looking back of, one, just connecting with my dad and having that fatherly love that I have from my earthly father, but even just from the Lord above of putting me in a space to kind of like restart and reset. So I went to a community college. I joined the community dance team. I would laugh because I was like, well, I don't even have to have a good knee to be able to do this. Like, they're a community college, but it's nothing against community college. I just, at that time, was angry that I was kind of, I felt like I was downgrading. But again, I think the Lord recognized, like, this is what you need, then, like, let's do this in a different way. And so I found a group of friends there who were, like, a Christian fellowship group that invited me in. And I just remember at the time being, like, annoyed that they were trying to talk to me about Jesus. And I was like, I get it. Fine. Go away. And I just... Again, I'm from Texas, so I feel like everyone there is always trying to preach to you, and I was annoyed by it. But I had this one friend in particular who I feel like didn't fit that mold. Like, she just generally wanted to get to know me for who I was and invited me out and, like, got to be my friend on a deeper level. There was no judgment, no, like, trying to preach to me or shove the Bible down my throat, and that was what I needed. I needed somebody, a friend, just to hear me and to love me. And now I can look back and recognize, like, that is who Jesus is, right? That is how Jesus loves, is by building relationships, not coming of judgment or condemnation. And so that was a really good, like, a turning point for me of then wanting to get plugged in, going to church, and to know Jesus in a deeper way. So for the next couple of years, I'd say at least a year and a half, I was following that path of, like, being discipled. This friend was discipling me, going through reading the Gospels. And I would say at that time, I was, like, on fire for the Lord. I was like, this is great. Like, Jesus is my Savior. I love this. But I was still a baby believer. I definitely didn't have the maturity and hadn't lived life long enough. But I remember my grandma being like, Jess, you're doing good. I love that you've gotten plugged in and you're great. You're like, this is awesome. I see this glow in you. You're not drinking as much. Again, I was still drinking because I thought the disconnect was like, well, if you're under 21, you're not supposed to drink. I've now turned 21, so I can still drink. And again, that's just lies. But I had an opportunity to go work at Disney. And again, if you know me, I am obsessed with Disney. Yay! And so I had gotten the opportunity to go to Disney. I remember my parents thinking, like, you won't get accepted. Sure, go ahead and apply. And my grandma was the one that was like, I don't think you're ready. Like, I feel like you finally found a community. You finally got plugged in. Like, you should not be going to Disney and leaving right now. And I was like, Grandma, it's fine. Like, the Bible says, like, go preach to the nations. Like, Epcot is the nations. Like, I can go do that. Yeah. This is how we lie to ourselves to get what we want. And so I ended up going to Disney. And again, I feel like my heart was in the right place. Like, I did connect with a lot of internationals, and I was living my life differently in the sense that I was still wanting to love others for who they were and like meeting them. I wanted to be that friend that I had met in college of like just having conversations and like not judging people or telling them that they were living their lives differently. But because I hadn't quickly like completely stopped drinking, I was still actively going to bars and hanging out with my friends. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, well, and I'm not saying that this can't be done, but where I was at spiritually, and I was just not mature enough to do this, was that I was going thinking like, oh yeah, like I'm going to go make a difference and I'm going to connect with these people and be able to tell them about the love of Jesus. Well, that was the heart of it. But little by little, that temptation of drinking more and drinking more, like I fell back into what I had previously been doing. And so as I was falling back into drinking, I was then, again, we talk about how like these little, it's just like a chain reaction of like, you hear lies, you fall into sin. And so then that's what was happening is like my drinking was then leading to other things of like insecurity, unworthiness, unloved. And so I remember one time at living in Florida, I had met this guy who had asked me on a date, very good looking guy. And I get nervous and anxious. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to function. So I thought it would be a good idea of like, I'm just going to have a couple of drinks before I go out. That'll like make me, I'll loosen up, I'll feel more confident, I'll be cool and the party person that everyone loves. Well, a couple of drinks ended up being like half a bottle of Jack. Don't recommend it. And so I remember being picked up and going to City Walk, which is on the Universal side. And I don't remember a lot of that night. Like, again, I had too much alcohol too quickly, too soon, that I remember throwing up in his truck. And then I remember waking up in his bed the next morning. And it's one of those things that you're like, one, I do feel bad for him. Like, how traumatic for him of, like, what the heck is wrong with this girl? But I was dealing with a lot of things. And I remember waking up, and he hadn't even tried anything, but I just started crying. Because I hated that it felt like deja vu. Like, I was back where I had just started. And at this point, it was worse because I had a relationship with the Lord. So it's like, I knew who the Lord was, and I'm now chosen to go back to these things. And you'll hear me, I feel like, for those of you who know me, you'll hear me reference like Gomer from Hosea in the Bible. And like, that's exactly what was happening. It was like, I knew who the Lord was. I had a relationship with him, yet I was choosing other lovers. I was choosing other idols and things in my life instead of going to him. And that was just a really hard, I feel like, thing, because after that happened, instead of that being like a wake-up call, I felt even more ashamed and felt like I've now even furthered, like I've chosen over him, so how would I ever like go back to Jesus? And so that ended up being a down cycle for the next, I lived in Florida for 5 years, and so that continued on for the next several years of me just going after relationships, but not wanting to get hurt. So just having like one night stands and feeling like this is going to fill the void. I'm going to feel loved. I'm going to be accepted. And then waking up and feeling gross and disgusted and ashamed, and then doing it all over again. So it was just a constant cycle for several years. Again, God is good. And this is a story about his grace. And so I feel like, similar to Gomer, when these things happen, I feel like God will prevent and create obstacles to keep you from that. And not to just keep you from the sin, but to get you to turn back to him. And so I feel like the Lord did that for me. I had just been promoted to being a trainer while I was at Disney, as I worked in the resorts. And so I had just been promoted to be a trainer. But there was a situation that was under investigation, and my name got pulled into it. And so they wanted to look at that. So I got put on probation for them to investigate. And again, long story short, like I hadn't done anything wrong, but because I had been put on suspension, I again felt really heartbroken and was discouraged that like my identity now was in Disney, that I worked as a Disney employee. Like, I feel like people can relate, like it's a cool place to work for. And it's a cool thing to say, oh, I worked at Disney. So to have that taken away from me, again, was like same mirroring thing of the things that had happened in college. Is like, I put my identity in someone other than the Lord. And then I'm feeling this like depression and loss and brokenness. And so my parents, again, praise them for thinking, hey, maybe it's time for you to come back to Texas. So I came back to Texas, and they got me out of that situation. And my grandma at the time hadn't been doing well, She had a lot of health issues and she had been falling or just like forgetfulness. So my parents thought, hey, while we have you here and you're not working, maybe you should just like watch over your grandma, maybe help cook meals. I don't cook. And I was like, I don't really know how that's going to help them, but okay, I'll try. And it didn't. It was basically me hanging out with my grandma and her cooking for me. And it's just even sweet to think of and look at how the Lord used my grandma. And again, my grandma's like this was this strong, like faithful woman her whole life. And she like left a legacy behind. And in those moments, I mean, she was sneaky. She'd be like, Jesse, I need to ride to church. Jesse, I can't quite read what this verse says. Can you read this to me? And I'm like, you have that verse memorized, Grandma. Why do you need me to read it to you? But she continued, I feel like, to pour into me for the next several years. She ended up passing away in 2015. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and feeling like this sense of peace. And I like looked at my phone, and sure enough, my mom had texted me and saying, like, your grandma has just passed. And it was so different, obviously, from the time when I had lost a friend and not had a relationship with the Lord till like now when I lost my grandma and having a relationship with the Lord, of just this overwhelming amount of peace and even like a celebration of like, man, my grandma's home. My grandma is home with the Lord. And what's cool now is like a year later, I ended up getting baptized. And so did my sister, my mother, and a couple of my cousins. And so the legacy that my grandma left behind just is true testament of like her faithfulness to the Lord. And I think that's just a reminder for me of that's how I want to be. So as the years continued, I had an opportunity. At this point, I'm like pretty plugged into my church. I got baptized. I had done a couple of Bible studies, got plugged into a small group. I feel like I want to say the first Bible studies that I did was on Hosea, which I felt like was the Lord just reminding me of his love and constant pursuing of me. And then there was this series called the Comeback Series. And so like the fact that those were the two Bible studies that I was introduced to, having never done a Bible study in my life, I just thought was really neat because it was what I needed to hear at that time. So again, fast forwarding, I'm part of a small group. I have an opportunity to go on a missions trip to China. And I did not want to go to China. Like I wanted to go to Guatemala. I wanted to go to Mozambique. China was on the very bottom of my list of ever places I would ever want to visit. But I went and I just absolutely fell in love. I feel like God wrecked my heart for the people of China. And I feel like within years later, I was moving there and serving as a missionary. While I was there, as many of you know, just because you're following the Lord, things are not perfect. Things don't just always, oh, now you've got it all figured out. Like, no, not at all. You'll see a trend. I constantly make mistakes, and I constantly get angry at the Lord. So as I'm living in China, my other grandma passed, and my grandpa passed, and even my friend's dog passed. And I was angry about all of these things because I'm like, Lord, I'm over here serving you, and you're taking away the people that I love and care about. And I didn't even get to say goodbye to them. This was so unexpected. And so I was just, like, really upset and angry, and I hadn't been drinking at this point. I'd been sober for 4 years. And I remember even using that as like a threat of like, well, in that case, Lord, because you can't do these things and you're making me feel this way, then I'm going to turn to drinking again. And God is he's such a good father. Like I feel like in my quiet time, it reminded me of like this, if you've ever seen The Shack, like sitting at the table with Father, Holy Spirit, and Son of like, well, if that's what you want, then like have a drink. I was like, what do you mean? Like, that's okay? And he's like, if that's what you want. I'm like, well, it's not really what I want, but what I want you can't give me. And he's like, yes, I can. And I'm like, well, I want to go to Disney then. Obviously, right? That's always the answer. So I remember him being like, okay, then go to Disney. So I'm living in China at the time. I go to Hong Kong Disney by myself, and it's a solo trip. But it was the sweetest thing. I feel like Jesus was sitting with me. There was a seat empty on the plane. I felt like he was just with me the whole time. A group of young little girls that are on a dance team are sitting in the rows in front of me and behind me. And of course, I love kids and I love dancing. So I'm excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to talk to you and be your best friend. And so it's just like these little things that you're like, God was with me in those moments all the way up. So I go to Disney. I have the best time. I'm making friends with people left and right. And just reminded of the joy that he gives us. So like, it's good. Well, then as the night's ending, I end up at the Cheesecake Factory because I also love cheesecake. And there's a line out the door, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, in the city I live, there was not a Cheesecake Factory, so this was like an excitement. They're like, well, there's a table at the bar, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, really? And I was in an anger. I was praying. I was like, Lord, this is a joke, right? Like, you're the only table is available at the bar, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this just reverts me back to my drinking years. So I'm sitting there. The bar is full, and there's one chair beside me, and I'm like thinking, surely it's going to get taken. Nobody takes that chair. Like, again, there's a line outside the door, and nobody takes that chair. And so to me, it was just like feeling like Jesus was with me. And he was like, if you want a drink, have a drink. Like, I have broken these chains. Like, these are not what's holding you down. So, like, if you want a drink, then go for it. As I'm sitting there praying, I'm like, well, I don't actually want a drink. Like, I'd rather just have a cheesecake. And so, but it was just that moment of freedom, of having that choice and, like, the Lord being okay with that, of, like, I love you. Like, if you feel like you need a drink right now, then I'm not going to condemn you for that. I would rather you choose me. I would rather you come to me than go to that alcohol. But, like, we can walk down that path again if that's what you want to do. And so, I don't know. I feel like that, to me, was one of my, like, wake-up calls of, like, okay, Lord, like, it is going to be hard. I am going to continually to need you and to come to you first. And so, life in China had its ups and downs. Fast forward, you're probably like, okay, Jesse, we're running out of time, and you're still in China. How did you get back to Indiana? So I came back on my furlough. Well, let me say, as I was living in China, I felt like that's where I was meant to be and was prepared to live there for the next 10 years. I feel like the Lord was like, yes, this is what you've been called to do, but like in order to do this, you're going to need to go back and get a higher education because I had never graduated college. I had continued to drop out and change my major, do all the things. And so I was like, I really don't want to do college. He's like, you're going to need to. And I was like, ugh. So I was taking online classes, living in China, but at time that came where I needed to come back to furlough, do some support raising, visit family. So I came back, and it was right at the time that little thing called COVID happened. And I was actually coming from China as COVID was hitting. So I left the country just in time as everything was shutting down. They were canceling flights. People weren't able to leave. And I was like, well, I'm out. Bye. And ended up just like making it back and thinking like, okay, like the country shut down. It'll be open in the next couple of months. It'll be fine. And then I'll go back. We all know that didn't happen. So I was living here for maybe 6 months and it was driving me crazy. Like I'm used to living on my own. I was living with different family members, sleeping on couches, sleeping in guest bedrooms, sharing a space that just got real old real fast. And I was like stressing out because I was like, Lord, I can't keep doing this. I don't know when I can go back. I don't have a job. I don't have a car. I don't have a place to live. I don't know how you expect me to finish going to taking online classes because that's expensive. And if I don't have a job, how am I going to pay for this? And I didn't want to do loans. And so I have an aunt who lives up here in South Bend who invited me to come stay and house sit while she was going to be going to New York for the next 6 months. And so I had a place to stay. I had a car to use. Got a job at Lululemon and started working there and then got plugged into a church. And of course, I was like, great, I'm back at a church. I love this. I want to get plugged in with the youth group. So went that summer and volunteered at a youth camp, met Rob's wife, Amy, as I was getting ready one morning in the shower singing to Selena. And just became friends with her. So if you know Rob and Amy, they're super like personable, easy to connect with. And like, long story short, he was like, tell me your whole life story. I have a job for you. You should work at Bethel University. And I was like, I've never heard of Bethel. But Bethel has been a great opportunity. I not only got to jump into ministry, I not only got to mentor young adults that I have a huge heart for, but I was able to finish my education. I got my degree last summer, which has been great. And yeah, I had a place to live. And so it was just like all the things that the Lord was like, why do you stress and worry? Like, do you not see all that I can provide for you? And so, yeah, I feel like now the Lord has shown me or reminded me of the call to be overseas and to serve as a missionary. So this is my last year as a resident director. I'm currently going through the application process with World Partners and hoping to move to Asia. If not the end of this year, then maybe beginning of next year. But that is my story. I know we're running out of time, and I see people leaving already, so I am so sorry for keeping you. But know that, like, my story is not done. Your story is not done. I hope and pray that you know that the Lord loves you and that you're never too far gone. So thank y'all.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.